Painting the Supreme, Text 1. Arjuna Huvacha, King Tan Brahma Kimadhyatmam, King Karma Purushottamo, Adibhutam Chakim Proktam, Adidaivim Kamuchite. Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the Self? What are fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? And what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. Purport. In this chapter, Lord Krishna answers different questions from Arjuna, beginning with, what is Brahman? The Lord also explains karma, fruitive activities, devotional service, and yoga principles, and devotional service in its pure form. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the Supreme Absolute Truth is known as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. In addition, the living entity, the individual soul, is also called Brahman. Arjuna also inquires about Atma, which refers to body, soul, and mind. According to the Vedic dictionary, Atma refers to the mind, soul, body, and senses also. Arjuna has addressed the Supreme Lord as Purushottama, Supreme Person, which means that he was putting these questions not simply to a friend, but to the Supreme Person, knowing him to be the supreme authority able to give definitive answers. Text 2. Adiyagya katam kotra dehismin madhusudana prayana kale chakatam gehosi niyatatma bhi. Who is the Lord of Sacrifice, and how does he live in the body, O Madhusudana? And how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? Purport. Lord of Sacrifice may refer to either Indra or Vishnu. Vishnu is the chief of the primal demigods, including Brahma and Shiva, and Indra is the chief of the administrative demigods. Both Indra and Vishnu are worshipped by yajna performances. But here Arjuna asks, who is actually the Lord of yajna, sacrifice, and how the Lord is residing within the body of the living entity? Arjuna addresses the Lord as Madhusudana because Krishna once killed a demon named Madhu. Actually, these questions, which are of the nature of doubts, should not have arisen in the mind of Arjuna, because Arjuna is a Krishna-conscious devotee. Therefore, these doubts are like demons. Since Krishna is so expert in killing demons, Arjuna here addresses him as Madhusudana so that Krishna might kill the demonic doubts that arise in Arjuna's mind. Now, the word prayana kale in this verse is very significant because whatever we do in life will be tested at the time of death. Arjuna is very anxious to know of those who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. What should be their position at that final moment? At the time of death, all the bodily functions are disrupted, and the mind is not in a proper condition. Thus disturbed by the bodily situation, one may not be able to remember the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Kulashekar, a great devotee, prays, My dear Lord, just now I am quite healthy, and it is better that I die immediately so that the swan of my mind can seek entrance at the stem of your lotus feet. The metaphor is used because the swan, a bird of the water, takes pleasure in digging into the lotus flowers. Its sporting proclivity is to enter the lotus flower. Maharaj Kulashekar says to the Lord, Now my mind is undisturbed, and I am quite healthy. If I die immediately, thinking of your lotus feet, then I am sure that my performance of your devotional service will become perfect. But if I have to wait for my natural death, then I do not know what will happen, because at that time the bodily functions will be disrupted, my throat will be choked up, and I do not know whether I shall be able to chant your name. Better let me die immediately. Arjuna questions how a person can fix his mind on Krishna's lotus feet at such a time. Text 3. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Aksharam Brahma Paramam Sabhavo Dhyatvamuchyate Bhuta Bhavo Bhavakaro Visarga Karma Sangita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, The indestructible, transcendental living entity is called Brahman, and his eternal nature is called Adhyatma, the self. Action pertaining to the development of the material bodies of the living entities is called karma, or fruitive activities. Purport. Brahman is indestructible and eternally existing, and its constitution is not changed at any time. But beyond Brahman, there is Parabrahman. Brahman refers to the living entity, and Parabrahman refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The constitutional position of the living entity is different from the position he takes in the material world. In material consciousness, his nature is to try to be the lord of matter. But in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, his position is to serve the Supreme. When the living entity is in material consciousness, he has to take on various bodies in the material world. That is called karma, or varied creation by the force of material consciousness. In Vedic literature, the living entity is called Jivatma and Brahman, but he is never called Parabrahman. The living entity, Jivatma, takes different positions. Sometimes he merges into the dark material nature and identifies himself with matter, and sometimes he identifies himself with the superior spiritual nature. Therefore, he is called the Supreme Lord's marginal energy. According to his identification with material or spiritual nature, he receives a material or spiritual body. In material nature, he may take a body from any of the 8,400,000 species of life. But in spiritual nature, he has only one body. In material nature, he is manifested sometimes as a man, demigod, animal, beast, bird, etc., according to his karma. To attain material heavenly planets and enjoy their facilities, he sometimes performs sacrifices, yajna. But when his merit is exhausted, he returns to earth again in the form of a man. This process is called karma. The Chandogya Upanishad describes the Vedic sacrificial process. On the sacrificial altar, five kinds of offerings are made into five kinds of fire. The five kinds of fire are conceived of as the heavenly planets, clouds, the earth, man, and woman. And the five kinds of sacrificial offerings are faith, the enjoyer on the moon, rain, grains, and semen. In the process of sacrifice, the living entity makes specific sacrifices to attain specific heavenly planets and consequently reaches them. When the merit of sacrifice is exhausted, the living entity descends to earth in the form of rain, then takes on the form of grains, and the grains are eaten by man and transformed into semen, which impregnates a woman, and thus the living entity once again attains the human form to perform sacrifice and so repeat the same cycle. In this way, the living entity perpetually comes and goes on the material path. The Krishna conscious person, however, avoids such sacrifices. He takes directly to Krishna consciousness and thereby prepares himself to return to Godhead. Impersonalist commentators on the Bhagavad Gita unreasonably assume that Brahman takes the form of Jiva in the material world, and to substantiate this, they refer to chapter 15, verse 7 of the Gita. But in this verse, the Lord also speaks of the living entity as an eternal fragment of myself. The fragment of God, the living entity, may fall down into the material world, but the Supreme Lord, Achyuta, never falls down. Therefore, this assumption that the Supreme Brahman assumes the form of Jiva is not acceptable. It is important to remember that in Vedic literature, Brahman, the living entity, is distinguished from Parabrahman, the Supreme Lord. Text 4. Adibhutam chadobhava purushaschadidaivatam adiyagyohamevatra dehi dehabratamvara. O best of the embodied beings, the physical nature, which is constantly changing, is called adibhuta, the material manifestation. The universal form of the Lord, which includes all the demigods, like those of the sun and moon, is called Adidaiva. And I, the Supreme Lord, represented as the Supersoul in the heart of every embodied being, am called Adiyagya, the Lord of Sacrifice. Purport. The physical nature is constantly changing. Material bodies generally pass through six stages. They are born, they grow, they remain for some duration, they produce some byproducts, they dwindle, and then they vanish. This physical nature is called adibhuta. It is created at a certain point and will be annihilated at a certain point. The conception of the universal form of the Supreme Lord, which includes all the demigods and their different planets, is called adidaivata. And present in the body, along with the individual soul, is the Supersoul, a plenary representation of Lord Krishna. The Supersoul is called the Paramatma, or Adiyajna, and is situated in the heart. The word Eva is particularly important in the context of this verse, because by this word, the Lord stresses that the Paramatma is not different from Him. The Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seated beside the individual soul, is the witness of the individual soul's activities and is the source of the soul's various types of consciousness. The Supersoul gives the individual soul an opportunity to act freely and witnesses his activities. The functions of all these different manifestations of the Supreme Lord automatically become clarified for the pure Krishna-conscious devotee engaged in transcendental service to the Lord. The gigantic universal form of the Lord, called Adidaivata, is contemplated by the neophyte who cannot approach the Supreme Lord in his manifestation as Supersoul. The neophyte is advised to contemplate the universal form, or Virat Purusha, whose legs are considered the lower planets, whose eyes are considered the sun and moon, and whose head is considered the upper planetary system. Text 5. Andhakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra sanshayah. And whoever, at the end of his life, quits his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Purport. In this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran, remembering, is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree, Taro Iva Sahishnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, so that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. Text 6. Yang yang vapi smarang bhavam chajatyante kalevaram tangtame vaiti konteya sadatan bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Purport. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who, at the end of his life, quits his body thinking of Krishna, attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharat, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life. And so, in his next life, he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death, so this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. Text 7. Antasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmarayudnyacha mayarpita mano buddhir mame vaishyasya sanshayaha. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Purport. This instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties of engagements. One can continue them, and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, without a doubt. Text 8. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina padamang purushang divyam yati partanu chintayan. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. Purport. In this verse, Lord Krishna stresses the importance of remembering him. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. By this practice of chanting and hearing the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue, and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice, and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord. Purusham means enjoyer. Although living entities belong to the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord, they are in material contamination. They think themselves enjoyers, but they are not the Supreme Enjoyer. Here it is clearly stated that the Supreme Enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different manifestations and plenary expansions as Narayan, Vasudev, etc. The devotee can constantly think of the object of worship, the Supreme Lord, in any of his features, Narayan, Krishna, Rama, etc., by chanting Hare Krishna. This practice will purify him, and at the end of his life, due to his constant chanting, he will be transferred to the kingdom of God. Yoga practice is meditation on the Supersoul within. Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, one fixes his mind always on the Supreme Lord. The mind is fickle, and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly, and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. Text 9. Kavim puranam anushasitaram anorani yang samanusmarehidya sarvasya data dhamachinta rupam adityavanam tamasak parastat. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental, beyond this material nature. Purport. The process of thinking of the Supreme is mentioned in this verse. The foremost point is that he is not impersonal or void. One cannot meditate on something impersonal or void. That is very difficult. The process of thinking of Krishna, however, is very easy and is factually stated herein. First of all, the Lord is Purusha, a person. We think of the person Rama and the person Krishna. And whether one thinks of Rama or of Krishna, what he is like is described in this verse of Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is Kavi, that is, he knows past, present, and future, and therefore knows everything. He is the oldest personality because he is the origin of everything. Everything is born out of him. He is also the supreme controller of the universe, and he is the maintainer and instructor of humanity. He is smaller than the smallest. The living entity is 1/10,000th part of the tip of a hair, but the Lord is so inconceivably small that he enters into the heart of this particle. Therefore, he is called smaller than the smallest. As the Supreme, he can enter into the atom and into the heart of the smallest and control him as the Supersoul. Although so small, he is still all-pervading and is maintaining everything. By him, all these planetary systems are sustained. We often wonder how these big planets are floating in the air. It is stated here that the Supreme Lord, by his inconceivable energy, is sustaining all these big planets and systems of galaxies. The word achintya, inconceivable, is very significant in this connection. God's energy is beyond our conception, beyond our thinking jurisdiction, and is therefore called inconceivable, achintya. Who can argue this point? He pervades this material world and yet is beyond it. We cannot comprehend even this material world, which is insignificant compared to the spiritual world. So how can we comprehend what is beyond? Achintya means that which is beyond this material world, that which our argument, logic, and philosophical speculation cannot touch, that which is inconceivable. Therefore, intelligent persons, avoiding useless argument and speculation, should accept what is stated in scriptures like the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and follow the principles they set down. This will lead one to understanding. Text 10. Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvo madhye pranam avishya samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam. One who, at the time of death, fixes his life air between the eyebrows, and by the strength of yoga, with an undeviating mind, engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion, will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly stated that at the time of death, the mind must be fixed in devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For those practiced in yoga, it is recommended that they raise the life force between the eyebrows to the Agya Chakra. The practice of Shat Chakra Yoga, involving meditation on the six chakras, is suggested here. A pure devotee does not practice such yoga, but because he is always engaged in Krishna consciousness, at death he can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his grace. This is explained in verse 14. The particular use of the word yoga balena is significant in this verse because without practice of yoga, whether Shat Chakra Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, one cannot come to this transcendental state of being at the time of death. One cannot suddenly remember the Supreme Lord at death. One must have practiced some yoga system, especially the system of Bhakti Yoga. Since one's mind at death is very disturbed, one should practice transcendence through yoga during one's life. Text 11. Yadakshanam vedavido vadanti vishanti yad nyatayo vitaraga yadichanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padang sangrahena pravakshe. Persons who are learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkar, and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now briefly explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna has recommended to Arjuna the practice of Shat Chakra Yoga, in which one places the air of life between the eyebrows. Taking it for granted that Arjuna might not know how to practice Shat Chakra Yoga, the Lord explains the process in the following verses. The Lord says that Brahman, although one without a second, has various manifestations and features. Especially for the impersonalists, the akshara or omkar, the syllable om, is identical with Brahman. Krishna here explains the impersonal Brahman into which the renounced order of sages enter. In the Vedic system of knowledge, students, from the very beginning, are taught to vibrate om and learn of the ultimate impersonal Brahman by living with the spiritual master in complete celibacy. In this way, they realize two of Brahman's features. This practice is very essential for the student's advancement in spiritual life. But at the moment, such brahmachari, unmarried celibate life, is not at all possible. The social construction of the world has changed so much that there is no possibility of one's practicing celibacy from the beginning of student life. Throughout the world, there are many institutions for different departments of knowledge, but there is no recognized institution where students can be educated in the brahmachari principles. Unless one practices celibacy, advancement in spiritual life is very difficult. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has announced, according to the scriptural injunctions for this age of Kali, that in this age no process of realizing the Supreme is possible except the chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Text 12. Sarvadvarani Sangyamyaha Manoridi Nirudhyacha Murnyadhyatmanak Pranam Astito Yoga Dharanam. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. Purport. To practice yoga, as suggested here, one first has to close the doors of all sense enjoyment. This practice is called pratyahara, or withdrawing the senses from the sense objects. The sense organs for acquiring knowledge, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch, should be fully controlled and should not be allowed to engage in self-gratification. In this way, the mind focuses on the supersoul in the heart, and the life force is raised to the top of the head. In the sixth chapter, this process is described in detail. But as mentioned before, this practice is not practical in this age. The best process is Krishna consciousness. If one is always able to fix his mind on Krishna in devotional service, it is very easy for him to remain in an undisturbed transcendental trance or in samadhi. Text 13. Om iti kaksharam brahma vyaharan mamanusmaran yapriyati chajandeham sayati paramangatim. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the supreme personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. Purport. It is clearly stated here that Om, Brahman, and Lord Krishna are not different. The impersonal sound of Krishna is Om, but the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is clearly recommended for this age. So if one quits his body at the end of life, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he certainly reaches one of the spiritual planets according to the mode of his practice. The devotees of Krishna enter the Krishna planet, Goloka Vrindavan. For the personalist, there are also innumerable other planets, known as Vaikuntha planets, in the spiritual sky, whereas the impersonalists remain in the Brahma Jyoti. Text 14. Ananicheta satatam yomang smalati nityasha tasyaham sulabhak parta nitya yuktasya yoginaha. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Prita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Purport. This verse especially describes the final destination attained by the unalloyed devotees who serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhakti Yoga. Previous verses have mentioned four different kinds of devotees: the distressed, the inquisitive, those who seek material gain, and the speculative philosophers. Different processes of liberation have also been described: karma yoga, jnana yoga, and hatha yoga. The principles of these yoga systems have some bhakti added, but this verse particularly mentions pure bhakti yoga without any mixture of jnana, karma, or hatha. As indicated by the word ananyacheta, in pure bhakti yoga, the devotee desires nothing but Krishna. A pure devotee does not desire promotion to heavenly planets, nor does he seek oneness with the Brahmajyoti, or salvation or liberation from material entanglement. A pure devotee does not desire anything. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pure devotee is called Nishkama, which means he has no desire for self-interest. Perfect peace belongs to him alone, not to them who strive for personal gain. Whereas a jnana yogi, karma yogi, or hatha yogi has his own selfish interests, a perfect devotee has no desire other than to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says that for anyone who is unflinchingly devoted to him, he is easy to attain. A pure devotee always engages in devotional service to Krishna in one of his various personal features. Krishna has various plenary expansions and incarnations, such as Rama and Narsingha, and a devotee can choose to fix his mind in loving service to any of these transcendental forms of the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee meets with none of the problems that plague the practitioners of other yogas. Bhakti yoga is very simple and pure and easy to perform. One can begin simply by chanting Hare Krishna. The Lord is merciful to all, but as we have already explained, he is especially inclined toward those who always serve him without deviation. The Lord helps such devotees in various ways. As stated in the Vedas, Katha Upanishad 1:2:23, Yama evaisha vinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivanate tanung svam. One who is fully surrendered and engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord can understand the Supreme Lord as he is. And as stated in Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Dadam vibuddhi yogam tam. The Lord gives such a devotee sufficient intelligence so that ultimately the devotee can attain him in his spiritual kingdom. The special qualification of the pure devotee is that he is always thinking of Krishna without deviation and without considering the time or place. There should be no impediments. He should be able to carry out his service anywhere and at any time. Some say that the devotee should remain in holy places like Vrindavan or some holy town where the Lord lived. But a pure devotee can live anywhere and create the atmosphere of Vrindavan by his devotional service. It was Sri Advaita who told Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you are, O Lord, there is Vrindavan." As indicated by the words satatam and nityasha, which mean always, regularly, or every day, a pure devotee constantly remembers Krishna and meditates upon him. These are qualifications of the pure devotee for whom the Lord is most easily attainable. Bhakti yoga is the system that the Gita recommends above all others. Generally, the bhakti yogis are engaged in five different ways. 1. Shanta bhakta, engaged in devotional service in neutrality. 2. Dasya bhakta, engaged in devotional service as servant. 3. Sakya bhakta, engaged as friend. 4. Vatsalya bhakta, engaged as parent. And 5. Madhurya bhakta, engaged as conjugal lover of the Supreme Lord. In any of these ways, the pure devotee is always constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord and cannot forget the Supreme Lord, and so for him, the Lord is easily attained. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment, and similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. This is the great blessing of the Krishna-conscious process of chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Text 15. Mamupetya punarjanma dukkalayam shashvatam napnuvante mahatmano Sangsiddhim Padamangata. After attaining me, the great souls, who are yogis in devotion, never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Purport. Since this temporary material world is full of the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death, naturally he who achieves the highest perfection and attains the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, does not wish to return. The supreme planet is described in Vedic literature as Avyakta and Akshara and Padamagati. In other words, that planet is beyond our material vision, and it is inexplicable, but it is the highest goal, the destination of the Mahatmas, or great souls. The Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees, and thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They only want Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. That is the highest perfection of life. This verse specifically mentions the personalist devotees of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, they are the supreme souls. Text 16. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartino juna mamupecha tukunteya punarjanma navidyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Purport. All kinds of yogis, karma, jnana, hatha, etc., eventually have to attain devotional perfection in bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness before they can go to Krishna's transcendental abode and never return. Those who attain the highest material planets, the planets of the demigods, are again subjected to repeated birth and death. As persons on earth are elevated to higher planets, people on higher planets such as Brahmaloka, Chandraloka and Indraloka fall down to earth. The practice of sacrifice called Panchagni Vidya, recommended in the Chandogya Upanishad, enables one to achieve Brahmaloka. But if, on Brahmaloka, one does not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then he must return to earth. Those who progress in Krishna consciousness on the higher planets are gradually elevated to higher and higher planets and at the time of universal devastation are transferred to the eternal spiritual kingdom. Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, quotes this verse. Brahmana sahate sarvehi samprapte patisanchare patisyante kritatmano pavishanti param padam. When there is devastation of this material universe, Brahma and his devotees, who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness, are all transferred to the spiritual universe and to specific spiritual planets according to their desires. Text 17. Sahasra yuga paryantam aharyan brahmano vidu ratrim yuga sahasrantam teho ratra vidojana. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. Purport. The duration of the material universe is limited. It is manifested in cycles of kalpas. A kalpa is a day of Brahma, and one day of Brahma consists of 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas or ages, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. The age of Satya is characterized by virtue, wisdom, and religion, there being practically no ignorance and vice. And the yuga lasts 1,728,000 years. In the Treta Yuga, vice is introduced, and this yuga lasts 1,296,000 years. In the Dwapara Yuga, there is an even greater decline in virtue and religion, vice increasing, and this yuga lasts 864,000 years. And finally, in Kali Yuga, the Yuga we have now been experiencing over the past 5,000 years, there is an abundance of strife, ignorance, irreligion, and vice, true virtue being practically non-existent. And this Yuga lasts 432,000 years. In Kali Yuga, vice increases to such a point that at the termination of the Yuga, the Supreme Lord himself appears as the Kalki Avatar, vanquishes the demons, saves his devotees, and commences another Satya Yuga. Then the process is set rolling again. These four yugas, rotating 1,000 times, comprise one day of Brahma, and the same number comprise one night. Brahma lives 100 of such years and then dies. These 100 years, by earth calculations, total to 311 trillion and 40 billion earth years. By these calculations, the life of Brahma seems fantastic and interminable. But from the viewpoint of eternity, it is as brief as a lightning flash. In the causal ocean, there are innumerable Brahmas rising and disappearing like bubbles in the Atlantic. Brahma and his creation are all part of the material universe, and therefore they are in constant flux. In the material universe, not even Brahma is free from the process of birth, old age, disease, and death. Brahma, however, is directly engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord in the management of this universe. Therefore, he at once attains liberation. Elevated sannyasis are promoted to Brahma's particular planet, Brahmaloka, which is the highest planet in the material universe and which survives all the heavenly planets in the upper strata of the planetary system. But in due course, Brahma and all the inhabitants of Brahmaloka are subject to death, according to the law of material nature. Text 18. Avyakta duktaya sarvaha prabhavantiharagami ratyagami praliyanti chatraiva vyakta sangaki. At the beginning of Brahma's day, all living entities become manifest from the unmanifest state, and thereafter, when the night falls, they are merged into the unmanifest again. Text 19. Bhutta grama sahivayam bhutva bhutva praliyate ratyagame vashakpata pabhavatyaharagame. Again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being, and with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. Purport. The less intelligent, who try to remain within this material world, may be elevated to higher planets, and then again must come down to this planet Earth. During the daytime of Brahma, they can exhibit their activities on higher and lower planets within this material world. But at the coming of Brahma's night, they are all annihilated. In the day, they receive various bodies for material activities, and at night, they no longer have bodies, but remain compact in the body of Vishnu. Then again they are manifest at the arrival of Brahma's day, bhutva bhutva praliyate. During the day they become manifest, and at night they are annihilated again. Ultimately, when Brahma's life is finished, they are all annihilated and remain unmanifest for millions and millions of years. And when Brahma is born again in another millennium, they are again manifest. In this way they are captivated by the spell of the material world. But those intelligent persons who take to Krishna consciousness use the human life fully in the devotional service of the Lord, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thus they transfer themselves, even in this life, to the spiritual planet of Krishna and become eternally blissful there, not being subject to such rebirths. Text 20. Parastasmato bhavanyoho vyakto vyaktat sanatanaho vyaksa sarveshu bhuteshu nasyatsu navinasyati. Yet there is another unmanifest nature, which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. Purport. Krishna's superior, spiritual energy is transcendental and eternal. It is beyond all the changes of material nature, which is manifest and annihilated during the days and nights of Brahma. Krishna's superior energy is completely opposite in quality to material nature. Superior and inferior nature are explained in the 7th chapter. Text 21.
Avyakto kshada ityuktahas tamahu padamangatim yang prapina nivartante tadhama padamang mama.
That which the Vedantists describe as unmanifest and infallible, that which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns, that is my supreme abode. Purport. The supreme abode of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described in the Brahma Samhita as Chintamani Dham, a place where all desires are fulfilled. The supreme abode of Lord Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan, is full of palaces made of touchstone. There are also trees, called desire trees, that supply any type of eatable upon demand. And there are cows, known as Surabhi cows, which supply a limitless supply of milk. In this abode, the Lord is served by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis, and he is called Govinda, the primal Lord and the cause of all causes. The Lord is accustomed to blow his flute, Venum Quanantam. His transcendental form is the most attractive in all the worlds. His eyes are like the lotus petals, and the color of his body is like the color of clouds. He is so attractive that his beauty excels that of thousands of cupids. He wears saffron cloth, a garland around his neck, and a peacock feather in his hair. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives only a small hint of his personal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, which is the supermost planet in the spiritual kingdom. A vivid description is given in the Brahma Samhita. Vedic literatures, Katha Upanishad 1.3.11, state that there is nothing superior to the abode of the Supreme Godhead, and that that abode is the ultimate destination. Purushanna param kinchit sa kashta padamagati. When one attains to it, he never returns to the material world. Krishna's supreme abode and Krishna himself are non-different, being of the same quality. On this earth, Vrindavan, 90 miles southeast of Delhi, is a replica of that supreme Goloka Vrindavan located in the spiritual sky. When Krishna descended on this earth, he sported on that particular tract of land known as Vrindavan, comprising about 84 square miles in the district of Mathura, India. Text 22. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although he is present in his abode, he is all-pervading, and everything is situated within him. Purport. It is here clearly stated that the supreme destination, from which there is no return, is the abode of Krishna, the Supreme Person. The Brahma Samhita describes this supreme abode as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, a place where everything is full of spiritual bliss. All the variegatedness manifest there is of the quality of spiritual bliss. Nothing there is material. That variegatedness is expanded as the spiritual expansion of the Supreme Godhead himself, for the manifestation there is totally of the spiritual energy, as explained in Chapter 7. As far as this material world is concerned, although the Lord is always in his supreme abode, he is nonetheless all-pervading by his material energy. So by his spiritual and material energies, he is present everywhere, both in the material and in the spiritual universes. Yasyantakstani means that everything is sustained within him, within either his spiritual or material energy. The Lord is all-pervading by these two energies. To enter Krishna's supreme abode or the innumerable Vaikuntha planets is possible only by bhakti, devotional service, as clearly indicated here by the word bhaktya. No other process can help one attain that supreme abode. The Vedas, Gopal Tapani Upanishad 3.2, also describe the supreme abode and the supreme personality of Godhead. Eko Vishi Sarvaga Krishna. In that abode there is only one supreme personality of Godhead, whose name is Krishna. He is the supreme merciful deity, and although situated there as one, he has expanded himself into millions and millions of plenary expansions. The Vedas compare the Lord to a tree standing still, yet bearing many varieties of fruits, flowers, and changing leaves. The plenary expansions of the Lord who preside over the Vaikuntha planets are four-armed, and they are known by a variety of names: Purushottama, Trivikram, Keshava, Madhava, Aniruddha, Rishikesh, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Sridhar, Vasudev, Damodar, Janardhan, Narayan, Vamana, Padmanabha, etc. The Brahma Samhita 5.37 also confirms that although the Lord is always in the supreme abode, Goloka Vrindavan, he is all-pervading, so that everything is going on nicely. Goloka eva nivasatta kilatma bhuta. As stated in the Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8, Padasya shakti vibhidhai vashuyate svabhaviki ghana balakriyacha. His energies are so expansive that they systematically conduct everything in the cosmic manifestation without a flaw, although the Supreme Lord is far, far away. Text 23. Yatra kale tvanavrittim avrittim chaiva yoginah vayata yanti tam kalam vakshyami bhadatarshabha. O best of the Bharatas, I shall now explain to you the different times at which, passing away from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Purport. The unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Lord, who are totally surrendered souls, do not care when they leave their bodies or by what method. They leave everything in Krishna's hands and so easily and happily return to Godhead. But those who are not unalloyed devotees and who depend instead on such methods of spiritual realization as karma yoga, jnana yoga, and hatha yoga, must leave the body at a suitable time and thereby be assured whether or not they will return to the world of birth and death. If the yogi is perfect, he can select the time and situation for leaving this material world. But if he is not so expert, his success depends on his accidentally passing away at a certain suitable time. The suitable times at which one passes away and does not come back are explained by the Lord in the next verse. According to Acharya Baladev Vidyabhushan, the Sanskrit word kala used herein refers to the presiding deity of time. Text 24. Agnir jyotir ahak shukla shanmasa uttarayanam tatra prayata gacchanti brahma brahma vidojana. Those who know the supreme Brahman attain that supreme by passing away from the world during the influence of the fiery god, in the light, at an auspicious moment of the day, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, or during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north. Purport. When fire, light, day, and the fortnight of the moon are mentioned, it is to be understood that over all of them there are various presiding deities who make arrangements for the passage of the soul. At the time of death, the mind carries one on the path of a new life. If one leaves the body at the time designated above, either accidentally or by arrangement, it is possible for him to attain the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Mystics who are advanced in yoga practice can arrange the time and place to leave the body. Others have no control. If by accident they leave at an auspicious moment, then they will not return to the cycle of birth and death. But otherwise, there is every possibility that they will have to return. However, for the pure devotee in Krishna consciousness, there is no fear of returning, whether he leaves the body at an auspicious or inauspicious moment, by accident or arrangement. Text 25. Duma ratri stata krishna shanmasa dakshinahinam tatra chandrama sangjoti yogi prapya nivartate. The mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. Purport. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni mentions that those who are expert in fruitive activities and sacrificial methods on earth attain to the moon at death. These elevated souls live on the moon for about 10,000 years, by demigod calculations, and enjoy life by drinking soma rasa. they eventually return to Earth. This means that on the moon there are higher classes of living beings, though they may not be perceived by the gross senses. Text 26.
Shukla Krishne Gati Yete Jagatak Shasvate Mate Ekaya Yatjana Vrittim Anyaya Vartate Punaha.
According to Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from this world, one in light and one in darkness. When one passes in light, he does not come back, but when one passes in darkness, he returns. Purport. The same description of departure and return is quoted by Acharya Baladeva Jabushan from the Chandogya Upanishad 5.10.3-5. Those who are fruitive laborers and philosophical speculators from time immemorial are constantly going and coming. Actually, they do not attain ultimate salvation, for they do not surrender to Krishna.
Text 27. Naite sriti partajanan yogi muhyati kashchana tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto mbavarjana.
Although the devotees know these two paths, O Arjuna, they are never bewildered. Therefore, be always fixed in devotion. Purport. Krishna is here advising Arjuna that he should not be disturbed by the different paths the soul can take when leaving the material world. A devotee of the Supreme Lord should not worry whether he will depart by arrangement or by accident. The devotee should be firmly established in Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna. He should know that concern over either of these two paths is troublesome. The best way to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness is to be always dovetailed in his service, and this will make one's path to the spiritual kingdom safe, certain, and direct. The word yoga yukta is especially significant in this verse. One who is firm in yoga is constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness in all his activities. Sri Rupa Goswami advises, anasaktasya vishayam yatarham upayunjata. One should be unattached in material affairs and do everything in Krishna consciousness. By this system, which is called yukta vairagya, one attains perfection. Therefore, the devotee is not disturbed by these descriptions, because he knows that his passage to the supreme abode is guaranteed by devotional service.
Text 28. Vedeshu yogyeshu tapaksu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam atyeti tat savam idam vidhitva yogi parang sthanam upayati chadyam.
A person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing austere sacrifices, giving charity, or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all these, and at the end he reaches the supreme eternal abode.
Purport.
This verse is the summation of the 7th and 8th chapters, which particularly deal with Krishna consciousness and devotional service. One has to study the Vedas under the guidance of the spiritual master and undergo many austerities and penances while living under his care. A brahmachari has to live in the home of the spiritual master just like a servant, and he must beg alms from door to door and bring them to the spiritual master. He takes food only under the master's order, and if the master neglects to call the student for food that day, the student fasts. These are some of the Vedic principles for observing brahmacharya. After the student studies the Vedas under the master for a period from 5 to 20 years, he may become a man of perfect character. Study of the Vedas is not meant for the recreation of armchair speculators, but for the formation of character. After this training, the brahmachari is allowed to enter into household life and marry. When he is a householder, he has to perform many sacrifices so that he may achieve further enlightenment. He must also give charity according to the country, time, and candidate, discriminating among charity in goodness, in passion, and in ignorance, as described in Bhagavad Gita. Then, after retiring from household life, upon accepting the order of Vanaprastha, he undergoes severe penances, living in forests, dressing with tree bark, not shaving, etc. By carrying out the orders of brahmacharya, householder life, vanaprastha, and finally sannyas, one becomes elevated to the perfectional stage of life. Some are then elevated to the heavenly kingdoms, and when they become even more advanced, they are liberated in the spiritual sky, either in the impersonal Brahmajyoti or in the Vaikuntha planets or Krishna Loka. This is the path outlined by Vedic literatures. The beauty of Krishna consciousness, however, is that by one stroke, by engaging in devotional service, one can surpass all the rituals of the different orders of life. The words idam viditva indicate that one should understand the instructions given by Sri Krishna in this chapter and the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. One should try to understand these chapters not by scholarship or mental speculation, but by hearing them in association with devotees. Chapters 7 through 12 are the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The first six and the last six chapters are like coverings for the middle six chapters, which are especially protected by the Lord. If one is fortunate enough to understand Bhagavad Gita, especially these middle six chapters, in the association of devotees, then his life at once becomes glorified beyond all penances, sacrifices, charities, speculations, etc., for one can achieve all the results of these activities simply by Krishna consciousness. One who has a little faith in Bhagavad Gita should learn Bhagavad Gita from a devotee, because in the beginning of the fourth chapter it is stated clearly that Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by devotees. No one else can perfectly understand the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. One should therefore learn Bhagavad Gita from a devotee of Krishna, not from mental speculators. This is a sign of faith. When one searches for a devotee and finally gets a devotee's association, one actually begins to study and understand Bhagavad Gita. By advancement in the association of the devotee, one is placed in devotional service, and this service dispels all one's misgivings about Krishna, or God, and Krishna's activities, form, pastimes, name, and other features. After these misgivings have been perfectly cleared away, one becomes fixed in one's study. Then one relishes the study of Bhagavad Gita and attains the state of feeling always Krishna conscious. In the advanced stage, one falls completely in love with Krishna. This highest perfectional stage of life enables the devotee to be transferred to Krishna's abode in the spiritual sky, Goloka Vrindavan, where the devotee becomes transferred to Krishna's abode in the spiritual sky, Goloka Vrindavan, where the devotee becomes eternally happy. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the eighth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam.